story of Mother Kate, born on March 24th, 1840, as Catherine Ann Egerton Warburton, begins with the activities of Father John Mason Neal. Born in 1818, Neal studied at Trinity College, Cambridge, was ordained a priest in 1842, and appointed warden of Sackville College, an almshouse, in East Grinstead in 1846. The same year that he was appointed warden, Neal was writing a book entitled Annals of the Virgin Saints. And it is likely this foray into Christian history that inspired him to found a women's religious community, though that did not come to fruition until nearly a decade later. Neal's vision for the community was that it would be a nursing order, providing nursing care to the residents of farms and cottages within a 20-mile radius of East Grinstead. The first woman was sent to nursing school in 1855, and the first sister was sent out to nurse on July 13, 1855. Initially, these women received their religious formation directly from Father Neal, but in due time, a proper novitiate was instituted. Though the first sisters lived at Sackville College, that changed in the autumn of 1855 when they rented a cottage in Rotherfield, moving again in June 1856 to a small house in East Grinstead, located between the college and the local parish. By now, the sisters were following their own rule, but one based on the Roman Catholic Order of the Visitation of Holy Mary, which had been composed by St. Francis de Sales in the early 17th century. Neal had also consulted with the Anglican nuns at Clewer, founded just prior to the East Grinstead community. The following year, in 1857, Neal's devout sister Elizabeth asked the community to take over her work with orphans in Brighton so that she could join the work being done by Father Charles Otter in London's East End. So, another house was rented in East Grinstead, and 9 orphan girls moved into the house under the oversight of 2 of the sisters. The community continued to grow rapidly, and in 1858, the sisters moved again, causing Neal to settle on the need for a permanent convent, whose foundation stone was eventually laid on August 7, 1865. It was also decided that with such a large number of sisters, they would make their first foundation in Soho. The sisters sent to lead the first foundation were Sister Mary, who became Mother Mary, and Sister Kate. The community's primary work was among the poor, earning them great respect from the area's residents. In 1865, the work moved to Haggerston, another terribly poor area of London. In February of 1868, the community, numbering about 8 or 9 sisters, experienced a great trial when Mother Mary and 5 other sisters left for the Roman Catholic Church. Though tempted to give up the work in Haggerston and move back to the mother house in East Grinstead, the sisters were persuaded to stay, moving to another house in the same area that they named St. Saviour's Priory, which remains to this day. Over the next 20 years, the community grew rapidly and they made many new foundations. Now, Sister Kate, who is now Mother Kate, was the daughter of a Church of England priest who had been influenced by the nascent Oxford movement. He died when Mother Kate was only 9 years old, but his influence on her seems to have been profound. She joined the East Grinstead community as an 18-year-old and took life vows just days after turning 21. She had originally considered joining the Community of the Holy Cross, another new religious order founded in 1857 by Elizabeth Neal, sister of Father Neal. Kate's mother doubted that she could manage this kind of active life practice by the Holy Cross community, so she contacted the Reverend Charles Gutch, chaplain to her niece, for advice. Because he thought Kate was too wild and unchastened for that kind of life, he suggested she enter the new community at East Grinstead. No sooner had Sister Kate made final profession, she was sent to Soho to begin the work there. The constitutions of the Society of St. Margaret's defined their purpose. Quote, the sisters separate themselves for the work whereunto God calls them under the invocation of the holy name of Jesus, determining to do all things for the glory and the interest of that name which is above every name. The sick, the poor, the orphan shall be their constant care. Thus, the Soho Bay sisters immediately threw themselves into any work that would help alleviate the pain and suffering of their neighbors and give them an opportunity to bring people to or back to the church. Their house was located near a low square of almshouses, and their side door opened onto a dirty court, black with November mud, illuminated by a gin palace and reeking of cat's meat, Mother Kate later recalled. The newly established convent was a picture redolent of holy poverty. A few months into their work, they already were teaching more than 100 children and running guilds for boys and girls. When a smallpox epidemic broke out, sisters nursed the sick and the dying at great risk to themselves. When the sisters moved in 1865 to Haggerston, an area of unparalleled dreariness, of crushed down, desolate poverty, they continued the same kinds of work, living at the same levels of poverty themselves. One of their first works in Haggerston was to create a society of St. Michael and all angels for reforming the morals of young girls. The best and most dependable girls out of the society were made band mistresses with a group of younger girls under their care. The society was met with great success. Nonetheless, in late autumn 1870, there was a terrible smallpox outbreak. The community, numbering about 10 sisters, led by Mother Kate, were heroic. In her own memories, Mother Kate recalls a visit to a shoemaker whose 4 children all had the disease. 2 had already died, but were still in the same bed with the 2 who were sick. The sisters ensured that the bodies were removed to the mortuary and acquired clean bedding for the family. In another case, the mother of a young boy died, so he came to the priory asking for assistance. Because others were too afraid to enter an infected space, the sisters dragged the infected mattress, bedding, and clothes down to the yard themselves and burned them. By early the next year, the epidemic was finally stamped out, thanks in large part to the work of the sisters, who, throughout the whole episode, had never relaxed their monastic disciplines, a testament to the indomitable spirit of Mother Kate, who looked back on that season of ministry as a, quote, most terrible and wonderful time. After the smallpox epidemic, as far as the priory went, its effects remained. Not only the large number of new friends gained among the poor people, but also in a growing circle of kind and good friends beyond Haggerston, who from that time rallied around the sisters and began to take an interest in their work and in different ways to assist it. The community grew naturally thereafter, expanding their works when the opportunities presented themselves. We know that in 1871, the priory had 6 professed sisters with another 6 novices and helpers. Though they had cultivated a number of benefactors, the community itself remained very pure and poor. Many gifts to the community were passed along to poor neighbors. Despite this, they embarked on building proper spaces for themselves, beginning with a chapel, which was finally dedicated in 1875. They also constructed a mission room that became the center of their charitable activities. Not only did they continually work with children, but in the 1870s, they also started a workroom for the elderly. These aged women mended and patched clothes and darned socks for 6 pence a day. This amount helped to stave off the day when they would have to go into, quote, the house. It was an early form of retirement assistance before the advent of pensions. On September 23rd, 1923, the 65th anniversary of her reception into the Society of St. Margaret, Mother Kate chose to resign as superior of the community, dying less than a month later. Mother Kate's legacy lives on in the priory, which continues to this day. Today's sisters, like their forebears, continue to respond to some of the needs that arise amongst the marginalized in East London. The legacy of Mother Kate lives on in them. But the life of Mother Kate challenges us all to ask ourselves, do I live my life in such a way that I am of great spiritual and material assistance to others? Am I willing to forego the comforts of this life to meet the needs of others? Simply put, Mother Kate's example confronts us with the question, would we lose our life in imitation of Jesus for others? In answering, let us follow the good and godly example of Mother Kate, sister of the society, daughter of the Diocese of Chichester.